Whatever the voice, I listen from the late Parshas Kisavo. Very close to my heart, my bar mitzvah parsha. But that's not what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about defining who you are. Parentheses in Shanabat. Parentheses in Levachayal. Parentheses not in Shanahal. So here is, I think, a really, really beautiful idea. And I've really been thinking a lot about this. I just literally came from the great schus of learning my son in Mitzvah Yericho. I was in the car alone, so I had an entire hour to think about this topic. Hopefully, it'll stick with me some of the interesting stories maybe that I have. So here's the idea. The Pasuk tells us, as we know, that 2 weeks before, we were told, the Halacha actually says that 2 weeks before the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, we have the brachos, and unfortunately the opposite, the klalos, dafka, that it shouldn't be a week before Rosh Hashanah. And that's because those that really take Torah seriously, when they read the parsha, they understand that it relates to them. We're going to quote Rapam a little bit later, but Rapam was famous for saying that every parsha that we look into, we can see what's going on in current events. It tells us what our life, what's going on. And if you read the parsha carefully, you'll understand that. And in fact, I remember one Elulzman when I came back to Yeshivat HaKotel. So we went to Rav Nevensal's home. One of the great gifts that we were granted is to be able to daven basikin with Rav Nevensal and go there for Kiddush. So this particular week, unfortunately, Rav Nevensal was not well. He had a problem with his knee, so we davened there. A little Torah. And Rav Nevensal was the one who leaned. And I remember quite well, and definitely had a hashbon in me, that when he started reading the klalos, Arur, so his voice changed. Not his voice changed the way that we do it, excuse me for saying, dramatically, that we just do it because, you know, and we say, Arur, I tell you, you say it very, very low. But he actually started sobbing. He was crying. He could ask Shiloh about Shabbos. He couldn't control himself. It really got to him what the klalos were. And if we really take this seriously, it's something that we should recognize. And with Dafka doing it, it was done 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Because if you did it right before Rosh Hashanah, people wouldn't be able to concentrate on Rosh Hashanah because we'd be so scared. So, obviously, it's not just klalos, it's brachos. And one of the famous brachos, which we know, which actually, if you look at it, are mirrored, right? Because you have Baruch Atah Bevoecha, U'Baruch Atah Betzeitzecha, right? And then the opposite is going to be true also. The same idea. When it comes to Aror, so it says the same thing. The conventional translation of Baruch Atah B'Voecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeitzecha is blessed be you who come in and when you go out, and almost all the Mefarshim speak about Parnasa. B'Voecha, B'Tzeitzecha, when you're going out to Parnasa, that's what it's talking about. Everything you should have from the Olam, the Rashi quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia, is talking about when you leave the world, Baruch Atah, you should have a blessing that when we speak about the person at the Levaya, so we should say Baruch Atah B'Voecha, wow, this person was a great person from the beginning until the end. But many of the other Mefarshim speak about the idea of Parnasa. However, quite notably is what the Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel says. The Targum Yonasan here, and I'm going to quote what's called the Keser Yonah. The Targum Yonasan, as you know, is written in Aramaic. So for purposes of brevity and we can understand it, so we'll say it in Hebrew. And he quotes both the psukim. Again, he takes the Baruch, as I said, the mirror image, Atah B'Voecha, Baruch Atah Ba'ir, thank you, Baruch Atah Ba'Sadeh. I don't know who's going to help me. And he takes it to hold. And here's what he writes. I photocopied it, but then I realized I forgot to photocopy at home, so I took a picture of it. So he says like this. This is the Targum Yonasan. Bruchin atan bimalachim lebeite midrashe, a bruchim atan bimalachim lepragmatikachem. You understand why we're going to read in Hebrew now? Good. It says, bruchim atem bivoachem lebeite midrashechem. Blessed be you who go to your study house. It's a baruch atah b'tzeitzecha le machzerecha. When you go out to work. Blessed be you who sit in the house and study Torah. And blessed be you who study, who go out, I'm sorry, and have a parnasa. Right? That's what it says. So wait, we're going to get to it. You're not going to like what I have to say in a moment. So that's a great time to know something. But then when we move further and we look at the Ara part, so all of a sudden, it's a little bit different.
Listen to the Targum Yonasan. We won't do the Targum. We'll do the Kesser Yonasan who explains that. Arurchem atem bivoechem lebete. This is a hard word. Tartriot. Vikarkasim. This is actually, that is from a Hebrew word. The circuses. Right? Rakurkus is to go to a circus. And it's interpreted that this is theaters. Tartrusim is theaters. Im avodazara, he explains, although that's not talking about some example, he says, Ulevatel divrei Torah ba'arum atem b'tzeitzeichem l'machzereichem. So now this doesn't make any sense. So Rapam is going to explain this to us. Why? Because you have the first pasuk which says, blessed be you who goes to the base medrash, blessed be you who goes out and gets a job. Don't we know that that's a klal? Don't the Gemara tell us this? The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei Amud Beis explains V'asafta Diganecha means that you should go out and work. Their famous Rambam, who says that a person has to go out and have a job, it's important, says this in the Shulchan Aruch as well. It's quoted. The Ramah says, what do you do after davening? Go out and work. Okay, I understand maybe this was left out in certain places in Ramat Beit Shemesh, but that's what it says. It says that a person should go out and work. So it makes sense to say you should go to the base matters. You should learn in the morning. You should have a kovei yitim latar. And then what does it say? And then it says, oh yeah, you should do that, but not really. Arur. What's the arur? The arur is when you go out to the theaters, that's avodah zarah, and the circuses, and we could fill in the blanks what those are today, and your mevatel Torah, which the Kesser Yonasan expounds upon, and arur, those are the people that go to work. So which one is it? Is it a bracha or is it a klala? So says Rapam as follows. He says it depends. It depends how you define your job, how you define your work. What do I do? Right? When somebody asks you what you do for a living, I just had this very recently. So this is coming up a lot now, right? What do you do for a living? Right? So this is a new thing for me. What do you do? So far, most of the time, you know, unless I'm in the wrong place, you know, and I want to impress people, I usually say I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva Leva Torah. So why am I lying? So my wife actually said to me once, she said, what are you lying to them for? You're a CEO of a company now. Big deal. Yeah. So why do I say that?
Amen.
So, I don't know if I want to hear it in white Torah. That's why I was thinking about it. Anyway, so fine. So why do I say that? Because I want to define myself as really what my real tafkid is. My tafkid is teaching, so I need to make money on the side to do things. I have to go to America tomorrow. Okay. No, but it's all so that I can bring you back meat and stuff so we can learn together. Lessons from the land. No, my voice, like, come on. Right? All the stuff that's expired. So no kidding. So it depends how you define yourself. Right? Do you define yourself as a person who is all work, all pleasure, and the rabbi shir between Mincha Maariv and Shabbos? And I gotta, or do you define yourself as when I have time off, it's mutter. It's mutter. I'm a big advocate of this. You have to have time to unwind. I don't know what word you want to call it. Right? I want to chill. Right? Okay. Good. Good. So there are mutter things to do in that regard, and there are things that are Yotze Zayin Midoraisa, to go ahead and play sports and to exercise and all those things are great. Okay, but is that your whole time? Is that what you're doing with your life? Or are you involved in Avodas Hashem, which is of course Torah, but it's also Chesed. It's also being a good person. It's also That's the question over here. The Targum over here also says this. Baruch Atah Beis Midrash. And in business. Because are you a base medrash person and you happen to have a job also? You have to have a job. That's what the question is over here. Or is the basis of Torah just something I have to be yotze zayin, just like in the morning when I put my tefillin on, I have to go to minyan in the morning, but I don't define myself as that who I am. And I think this is exactly a beautiful idea for us in every stage of the life that we're in, before Rosh Hashanah certainly, but certainly for Shabbat. The game changer of your life is happening now. Because what we're asking you to do is to redefine your life. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your life is to redefine yourself. Right? you know, when a person's looking for a new job, so a good person who's advising them will say to them, you know, you got to reinvent yourself, right? Because, you know, putting on your resume, you know, that you're an expert in audio and visual CDs and VCRs, it's not going to do well, sir, right? You got to know more stuff. You know, all the stuff I learned in, excuse me for saying this, but not nice, but all the stuff I learned in YU computers, so when I got out to the business world, they're like, yeah, we don't use DOS anymore. Like, you're a loser. Like, you know, like, and they didn't have Excel. They were using the other, okay, yeah, I was using WordPerfect, and like, we don't use that anymore. I have something called, yeah, it's this thing called Microsoft. Like, what is that? Yeah, okay. You got to sometimes reinvent. You got to redefine yourself. What? This is what your year is about. It's defining yourself as not the guy that defines himself as, well, Aurora, when you define yourself first as what? As a person who goes out and goes to movies. As a person who goes out and goes to the circuses / internet / whatever concerts / what you do on Tuesday nights. That defines who you are. Or do you define yourself as Baruch Atah, right, as the Targum says, Baruch Atah in the Beis Medrash, and Baruch Atah then go out and do work. Fine. Because you're really a Beis Medrash person. You just got to work sometimes. And this is something I heard from Rav Nevenzel as well. I remember hearing this from the great Rav Yaakov Katz, the Rosh Kollel, in now Nativ Aryeh, in HaKotel as well. And he said, Rav Nevenzel said something startling. And this is really going to scare you, but Mamash meant a lot to me when I heard it. This was a Shana Aleph I heard this. So I didn't hear a lot of things Shana Aleph that I remember or anything. But this one I heard. He said, let's take us both, right? He said, excuse me, but I'll just give you the Lashon. Ani Avigdor. Right? His name is Avigdor Nevenzel. He's Avigdor. He shines his letters. He's such an Anuf. Sa'ar, the Tzir HaLevim. The little Levim. He's quite old now. And he says, I'm little Avigdor. He says, my life is learning. Torah Munasai. I get paid to learn. He's chief rabbi of the old city. He's a Rebbe in yeshivas. So I'm Zoicha to learn how many hours a day? He didn't want to say. Probably about 20. And you work. You go out and work. So now how many hours do you go out and work? I don't know. Let's take the scenario, Nebuch Lo Aleinu. You live in America, and you got to work very hard, right? Oh, today's Labor Day, Rabbi Isai. I only know this now because I didn't work today. So, and you put in your, you know, it's a joke now. People, you know, nobody's working 8-hour days anymore. You live in New York, New Jersey. There's no such thing as 8-hour days. So you're putting in 13, you're putting 14, whatever it might be. So now you come home. Ugh, you're coming home. You got to take the bus and say, and you come home. Your wife's so happy to finally see you. The kids are already sleeping. It's 9 o'clock at night. Says, my Riven, there's a Daf Yomi shir. Are you going to go or are you not going to go? Baruch atah b'voecha. Baruch atah b'zitzecha. You should blessed be when you go out, but b'voecha, where do you belong? So Rav Nevenzel says, if you decide to spend that hour of learning, we're equal. We're equal. I learned, you know, he didn't say this, but I learned my 20 hours. You learned your hour, hour and a half, 45. But when you had time off, that's what you define yourself as. The other time, you just didn't have time off. What are we supposed to do? Okay, we can have a discussion some other time. Should the guy be working 14 hours? I got a lot to say about that. The answer is no. But that's this definition, and that's what you guys have to figure out. And I'm not chas v'shalom, you know, don't send me bad mail if you're a parent of somebody sitting here. You know, don't send me bad mail. But the ultimate level that a person has to think about is, and you're going to think about this now, what profession am I going into? Does the profession I'm going to go into allow me to be a great firm Jew? And there are plenty of professions that even, a guy's not even going to be a doctor, he's going to be a lawyer, he's going to be, doesn't matter, you can take that profession and make with it what it is. And there's amazing, I mean, there are stories about these firm doctors that I can't tell you, it's unbelievable. And ones who specifically cut their hours and said, but you have to define that. Rav Fran tells this amazing story about the great Rav Henkin. The great Rav Henkin. The Rav Henkin was, when he was in Europe, so he went to see one of the great Rabbanim. And Rav Henkin went, so he was sitting in the anteroom waiting to meet the Rav, and there was somebody waiting there. So he says, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. He says, what's your name? He said, my name is Avram Yeshaya. Avram Yeshaya, okay. Little do you know that Avram Yeshaya was Avram Yeshaya Karlitz, which will later be known as from his pen name when he used to write articles and didn't want to know who he was, and he would sign it Ish. Chazon Ish. So he said, what do you do? So he didn't lie. He said, which was true, he owned a store. Really, his wife owned, was the one who worked in the store, and he learned all day. So he says, oh, really? Do you have time to learn? Do you have any time to learn? So he says, I learn when I can. And this Rav Hankin took with him and said, wow. And of course, he went into the ante room to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, you know, I'm leaving for a number of months. He's the one taking over. And of course, he became the Chazon Ish. But that's who we define ourselves. I learn when I can. That's who I am. Not the person who says, I learn when I can, I just can't ever. But I learn when I can. That's what you guys have to decide. Who are you going to be? And there are two different distinct types of religious Jews in the world. And if I may be as bold, and now I can be bold now because I can't get fired twice. And I say, no, I'm kidding, I don't want to get in trouble. And I'll be bold to saying there's two types of modern Orthodox Jews. There's a person who defines himself as, I learn when I can. I get on the bus and I'm going to work. And if I'm lucky, it'll take 45 minutes. It'll probably take an hour and a half. I listen to Torah. I do that. I listen to a shir. I open up my daf, whatever it is. Define who I am. Or do I have to? I need this hour for Facebook. I need this. I got to know what's going on with the guy I don't really even know. I got to go on LinkedIn to see who my third connection is. Come on. That's going to define who you are. And please don't misunderstand me. You should have time to chill out. I don't want to be, the guy who's going on United's flight tomorrow who's not going to watch any movies. I'm not saying I'm not. Mr. Shem, I'll sleep. But you have to have time for the Iker. The Iker is the base medrash, and then is the bracha. But if you're going out to the... And forget about the Avodah Zarah part of it. Right? Which, I have to tell you, I was on a trip this summer with the wonderful teens of Camp Misora, and they try to find the most, what they call the most kosher movies to watch because Rabbi Hartstein would be on the bus. Yeah, I mean, I could give you the name of the movies which were from years, at least 10 years ago. Every single one had a scene that was horrible. Okay, including, by the way, the ones that were, the Holocaust movies. You know, they amongst them, oh, we can watch this because terrible. So I don't know. That's a difficult parish as well. But listen to the Iker. The Iker is how we define ourselves. The stories that came to my mind while I was driving. So one story is a great story. Hope I don't get in trouble for this. My wife, the great wife that I have, who is a rakezet in Merkaz Tiferet, she said, I know your husband, he's a rabbi, da-da-da. I heard like he's a business guy, so maybe you can answer this business question I have. Okay, probably some useful quick question. So she did the most horrible thing that has been invented in the 21st century. She sent me a voice tag. A voice tag, Rabbi Isai, 7 minutes and 20 seconds was the question. I had to listen and listen, and you know every time, you put your head too close to the phone, it was a whole gantamite. But the ikar of the question, Rabbi Isai, I was so impressed with, because I don't think I ever even would have thought to return. It was a question of returning money because she got credit and then she got a gift certificate, and the gift certificate turned out to be free. And I was like, wow, that's what we should be thinking of. When we're walking into stores, it's like, well, how can I be Makadosh Shem Hashem here? I bet there's a great opportunity here. Can I really take this or not? Is this appropriate? You know, when we live in a door, I was just pointing out to someone today. When we live in a door that, anytime there's a robbery or anytime, Rahman al-Islam, there's a terrorist attack, there's so many cameras around, they always pick it up. If we think about the fact that there's cameras all around, maybe we wouldn't do some of the things that we do. There's a show on one of these reality TVs on Rahman al-Islam I watched when I was in America. So it's called Caught Red-Handed. It's a great show. Why? Because it just shows the stupidity of people. They install cameras and they catch them red-handed, Kedarka B'Kodesh. And there's not one person who goes into the office of the security office and admits what they did. They're like, no, I was going to pay later. They all got the whole tainas of this, the Rashi and Tosis over there. Right? Including the employees who get caught. Who are we? How do we define ourselves? Before Yom HaDin, in the middle of Elul, that's what we want to know as well. You guys are starting Shana Bet. How do you define yourselves? What will you do? And it's really hard because it's asking you to change your habits from, I wish I could say a year ago, but it might be from a few months ago. I had 16 boys in my learning program. Almost all were post-Shana Aleph. In a matter of 7 weeks, you saw the Yerida that some of them had, some of their difficulties. How do you define yourselves? Are you going to get on the bus, and are you going to have a safe with you at all times? There's a great story about Yaakov Neman. Ugh, he's a wonderful, amazing person. And he would meet often with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And Netanyahu told the story that he said that one time we're meeting, you know, when you meet with the Prime Minister, so, you know, if you have an 11 o'clock meeting, it's, you know, it's not going to start at 11 o'clock, but you can't show up at 11:20. It's not a doctor. You show up before 11 o'clock. So waiting and waiting. Finally, he comes out, and Yaakov Neman was engrossed in Mishnah Berurah. And he didn't notice that the Prime Minister says, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm learning Mishnah Berurah." And he tells the story over what a commitment that he has to Torah. At every free moment, that's what he's doing. Rav Asher Weiss tells a beautiful story about two soldiers who he assumed, although probably not, right? You guys would know, the soldiers will know this. Had a little time off, he assumed, probably didn't. They were guarding something, and they were sitting b'chavrusa learning with each other. They had how much time did they give them off, you know? 15 minutes for lunch, and they're still learning Torah together. That's they'll define themselves, who they are. I remember the great Rav Scheinberg. He would come, I had the schuss of, he would come every year or so to Tinek, and I had the schuss, I would be able to drive him around and stuff, but he always would have this vort of chaperein. He would always say, chaperein, chaperein. He says, nowadays you have in America, chaperash, chaper. Everybody, that we all can do. We can all go in and go, oh, well, I'm passing a 7-Eleven anyway. How can I get a big gulp? And this was me all summer. How can I not get the 52 ounce and 75 cents? I mean, oh, am I crazy? How can I not? Right? That we can always chop an extra drink. But do we chop an extra time of learning? Chop it right. You have the moment. Why not? So you open up a safer. Oh, I'm going to take the safer and maybe I won't use it. Maybe you will use it. But it's only for 3 minutes. So what? Rabbi Isai, you can finish Siddurim like this. You can finish Mishnah Berurah if you just bring the pocket Mishnah Berurah with you and learn it on the bus here and there and only learn two halakha. All of a sudden, that will be the greatest accomplishments that you will have in your life. And say, this is the Mishnah Berurah that I finished just when I was waiting for the bus. And then when I got on the bus, I was learning Daf Yomi. But just the waiting time. The waiting time, Rabbi Isai, those of you going to move to Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of waiting time out there. There's a lot of waiting time. Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael. Almost every waiting room you go to, especially doctors, there's plenty of svarim to learn. Dafka don't usually bring a safer there because I love going there and chopping some of the svarim there. Especially sometimes people put svarim there that shouldn't be there. And yeah, they're very interesting, you know, why the internet's awesome. You know, like, oh, that's so good. I like hawking about that. But okay, maybe that's not Torah. Fine. That's my leisure time. But we're defining ourselves. We want to be Baruch Atah B'Vo'echa. We want to be people who see the Beis Medrash as the Iker, and the Tufel is the work. And the work, it's a funny thing, right? The Tufel might be more time in your life, but the Iker is the Beis Medrash. My bracha to you is that you should have the Iker in your life forever. The concept, it doesn't have to be necessarily the Beis Medrash, but it should be that, and Amir Tzashem, we should all be Zoicha to do something that's very difficult, I understand. And that's changing who we are to define ourselves in a different way, a way that's defined of Torah and Avodas Hashem. And if I didn't mention, I should mention, I'm not just talking about only learning of Torah. I'm talking about being a good Jew. I'm talking about Chesed. I'm talking about ways of Avodas Hashem. Maybe having a little bit longer Shemoneh Esrei. Maybe, you know, the same thing. The guy has to wait for Shemoneh Esrei. This rabbi takes a long time. You know, okay, so maybe, why can't you have Shemoneh Esrei longer? Or at least take out a Sefer during that time. What's the big deal? Or, you know, you're here anyway, so make your Shemoneh Esrei a little bit longer. If you don't have an English sitter, take out the... Come on already. You didn't listen to me already. Get out the English sitter. Right. Or if you're Israeli, a Hebrew sitter. Or use a sitter. Don't use your phones, please. Okay. Pet peeve some other time. Okay. We should be Zaycha to only Matzim Tovim, good things. Rabbi Isai and Mr. Hashem will greet each other very, very soon. Amen.